Good afternoon. One of the things that seems to have come out of this pandemic, at least in our neighborhood, I don't know if in all of your neighborhoods, is that a lot of people got themselves pets. A lot of people got dogs. I guess because they're home more and they want some entertainment for the children. But what a lot of people are unaware of is that there are a whole host of halachic issues that come up with pets. So I'm not going to discuss neutering a pet right now. I think we had a time in halacha sharing that once before. Not going to discuss even tseida, the malacha of trapping, as it relates to a pet. We're just going to talk about muktzah, the issue of muktzah in terms of handling a pet, because it seems that people are not even aware that it's even a discussion, that it's even an issue. The Shulchan Aruch paskens in Siman Shin Ches, Seif Lamites, Asur l'taltel behema chaya va'of, that one is not allowed to be metaltel, one is not allowed to move an animal of any kind. Vafal pikein mutar lichbos asasal lifnei avrochem kedei she'yalav yardu bo bo demala asur l'taltelo. You're allowed to overturn a basket so that the animal can have an easier time climbing up to wherever he wants to go, and then but you're not allowed to touch the animal at all. And the Mishabur and Siv Katan Kuf Mem Vav over there explains dehem b'chlal muktza ke'etzim v'avanim, that a pet is just like etzim v'avanim d'lo chazu, because they're not really ra'oi for anything. And he says, "Vafilu miyachol agiel lehevzer al yadam don shof parech al gabei akel miyachol leshabrum afilu achi asu letavsim biyadayim." Even if the pet's about to damage something, the animal is about to damage something that belongs to you, you're still not allowed to be metaltel biyadayim to prevent it from damaging that which you have, even if it's going to cause some sort of hefzid. So the Mishmur is very clear, based on that when the Shulchan Aruch paskins that animals are muktzah, it means the highest form of muktzah. Muktzah machmas gufo, that it is an inherent form of muktzah, like eitzim va'avanim. Now, there is one exception to this iser that is explicit in the Mishnah. The Gemara in Shabbos Kufchav Chesam Beis points out that the Mishnah says that you're medadin agalan usiachin, that if you have animals, you're allowed to be medada them. What does that mean to be medada them? So Rashi writes, Ochez bitzavaru bitzdadin v'goro misayeo minanei lo beraglav, that you grab it by the neck or by the by its sides, and instead of lifting it, you just sort of nudge it in a particular direction, and that you're allowed to do. The question is, why in the world would you be allowed to do that? Normally, if you're not allowed to touch something that's muktzah, you're not allowed to touch it at all. No part of it are you allowed to touch. So the Ran explains, and it's quoted by the Beis Yosef, the Ran writes, Kashali, I don't understand. How could you be medada such an animal? Just like ein metaltelin kulo, so too ein metaltelin miktsaso. So he explains, no, you're allowed to be metaltel miktsaso when it's tsar bali chayim, when there's a concern that otherwise it would be tsar bale chayim. So that's the exception that we're applying over here. But if it's not going to be tsar bale chayim, then you're not allowed to, meaning if the animal's not about to suffer in any which way, then you're not allowed to move any part of the animal. The Shulchan Aruch goes on in Si'if Mem, in Simen Shin Ches, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins, straight like this Gemara, that you could schlep an animal in a chatzar in a location that has an eruv if it's done for the sake of the animal, and you don't move it completely. You don't totally pick it up off the ground. And the Mishabur and Sivkan Kufran Aleph explains that like the Ran, that Chazal only allow partially moving a muktzah animal, and only, even when you're partially moving it, only because of Tsar Balei Chaim. Mishabur and Siman Shin Hei quotes an Eliyahu Rabbah who disagrees, who says, No, you're right, it's only for Tsar Balei Chaim, but once it's for Tsar Balei Chaim, you're allowed to move the entire animal. You know, it's not only that you're allowed to just move it partially, it's just usually that's enough to get rid of the Tsar Balei Chaim. But if an animal fell into a pit with water on Shabbos and there's no way to get it out of the pit, and you can't drop food in there, so you could pick it up out of the pit on Shabbos, because that is a legitimate Tsar Balei Chaim need. The Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa writes that the quotes from Chazon Ish, "Demutar l'taltel muktzah b'makom she'yesh hefzid v'tzar balei chayim," that you're allowed to carry muktzah in general when it's tzar balei chayim. So therefore, it's not only that you're allowed to move it partially, that's a machlokas haposkim, whether you're allowed to move it only partially or move it entirely when it's tzar balei chayim, but that's only in a tzar balei chayim situation. What about stam? You have a pet and you like to play with your pet, you like to move your pet, you like to hold your pet, so are you allowed to move it in that sense? Now this, you would think, think a lot of times when people talk about this topic, they say, oh, in modern times that we have pets, there was no like major technological shift, you know, that happened. You know, an animal was an animal, it was always an animal. So, you know, it is true that it's more common now for people to have animals that do not work for them on their farms, and that, but I'd say you'd imagine that people had some sort of relationship with all the animals that were under their care, meaning that's just human nature, is to connect to living beings that are under your care and that you you're concerned for. So how do we treat pets bisman hazeh? So the Rush is quoted by the Or Zeruah, who says that if you have a pet bird in a cage, it's a singing bird, it's you're not allowed to carry it because it's not a kli, it's a muktza. So Rav Moshe Netshuva Nor Chaim Chelek Dalet Simin Tez Zayin writes that to be metaltel a fish tank, let's say, a small fish bowl or something like that, he says it's aser because balei chayim are muktza and you're not allowed to handle balei chayim. Rav Moshe, Rav Shlomo Zalman, however, is quoted from Shabbos that disagrees and says that no, you know, a fish tank is beautiful. It is like adds to the ambiance of the house, and it's commonly moved from one place to the other. So we thought that's not muktza. So if you have a fish set aside in a bowl, you know that, and it's a movable bowl, it's not like a giant fish tank, that would be mutter. But there's another psak of Rav Moshe relating to pets specifically, not to fish, but like dogs and cats that people keep as pets, which is one of the more controversial psakim of Rav Moshe Feinstein, because there's a sefer called Tiltule Shabbos, which is in English the Halachos of Muktzah. There are several books called the Halachos of Muktzah. This is not the Rav Simcha Benim Cohen one. The one that was written prior to that by Rabbi Yisrael Badner. And in the end of the Sefer, Rav Moshe was alive when Rabbi Badner wrote the Sefer. And at the end of the Sefer, he printed questions that he sent to Rav Moshe. Questions he sent to Rav Shlomo Zalman, and the responses that he got from them. And a lot of the questions that were sent to Rav Moshe were later printed in the 8th volume of Igros Moshe, which was published after Rav Moshe had already passed away. So there's a discrepancy on this issue relating to pets, whether Rav Moshe held you're allowed to carry pets or not. If you look in Rabbi Badner's Sefer, in the back he writes, Rav Moshe writes, all animals are muktzah, even the ones that children play with. If you look in Igros Moshe, Or Chaim, Cheleke, Simchav Beis, Oschav Aleph, it says that exact Lashon, but then it adds something in, right? It says the exact Lashon that pets are muktza, and that animals are muktza, rather, and that you're not allowed to be metal to them, even if children enjoy playing with them, and then it adds in a smaller font, Ele im kein hem yuchadim l'sha'ashuim, and in parentheses, pets. Unless it's a pet that's designated for one to play with. Well, that's a very big difference. Meaning the way it appears in Rabbi Badner's Sefer is children enjoy playing with animals. What, like a stray cat in Yerushalayim? That's what we're talking about? That's muktzah. Okay, fine, that's muktzah. I probably will tell my children not to play with that cat anyway. But what about my dog at home? So Rabbi Badner's Sefer, you read, it sounds like Rav Moshe holds, or whatever children like to play with, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to do, but you read it in Igros Moshe, and it sounds different. So there is a letter that was written by Rabbi Shabtai Rappaport Shlita to Rav Tzvika Reisman, that one of the Smichas Chaver Rebbeim, this is what we spoke about in Smichas Chaver last night, that's why I'm doing this topic today, one of the Smichas Chaver Rebbeim sent out. And it's dated Yud Zayin Teves Tavshin Ayin Ches, and Rav Tzvika had asked Rabbi Rappaport, who's Rav Moshe's grandson, and was one of the people most concerned with putting out the 8th volume of Igros Moshe, was one of the people that was most involved, I should say, with putting out the 8th volume of Igros Moshe. Rabbi Rappaport is a Gaon Olam, he's an absolute huge Talmud Chacham, and obviously was very involved in all of the writings of Rav Moshe that people are privy to now. And he was asked about this. He was asked, well, what's the story with the discrepancy? They should realize it was an impossible task that they had when they put out the eighth volume of Gros Moshe, because Ramosha was no longer alive, and many of the tshuvos were from when Ramosha was very old, and he could no longer write. So he was dictating things to them, and they were writing it down, and then they were showing it to him and asking him if it was okay. So of course they were going to get killed for it. Of course they were going to get, that Rabbi Rappaport once commented to somebody that he went to Rav Eliashiv and with a copy of the Sefer, and he told Rav Eliashiv, you know, it's being put in Cherim all over the place. Rav Eliashiv said, Mistama, that's good for sales. So it's true, when a Sefer it has the opposite effect of what people are hoping for. So it actually was probably pretty good for sales. But anyway, so Rabbi Rappaport writes in this letter that all you have to do is open up to the introduction of the eighth volume of the Gros Moshe, and you'll see why we have things in different types of font. That when we have certain things that were ha'aros that we asked him about, and we asked if we should include in the tshuva. So but he didn't actually dictate those originally, or he didn't write those originally. So then we put it in a different font. There are two different types of different font, depending whether Rav Moshe himself added it later, or they added it based on what Rav Moshe told them later. Like these nuances of detail, but they were careful to document that. So Rabbi Rappaport says, Shitaso shel hagram zatzal. Bibirur muchlat haisa shechayos machmad einon muktza. He said Rav Moshe clearly held that pets are not muktza. Kach amar li kama v'kama pa'amim. Rabbi Rappaport says this is not something that like was a one-off thing. Many times he told me this. And then Rabbi Rappaport says, I personally disagreed. He says, "Be'enai, according to me, the way I saw it, haya hadavar muzar. It seems a little strange. Shulchan Aruch says that all animals are muktza. Ani ta'anti, shadam einu yochel agdir b'l'chayim k'cheves. I said, how could you take a balchai and say, oh, it's like an object, it's like a kli? It's not. It's a balchai. Anything that has ruach chayim should be a balchai and should be muktza and should fit into that category. But he says, what can I do? I can't. I can tell you what I think, but I can't tell you. I can't change Rav Moshe." His mind. So that's what Rav Moshe didn't accept my taina. But I guess what Rabbi Rappaport is trying to say is, I have no reason to try to convince the world that pets are not muktzah, by forging something that Rav Moshe wrote. Because if anything, I'm on the other side. I would think that pets are muktzah. But what can I do? That's what Rav Moshe held. Rav Schechter told us that his impression is that the majority of poskim have not accepted what Rav Moshe paskined in this, even though Rav Moshe maybe did paskin at the end of his life that pets are not muktzah, that the Psak HaMakubal, Rav Schechter thought, is that it has not been accepted, is that pets, in fact, are muktzah. And in fact, Rav Vadi Yosef in Yabi Omer Chelkesim Chavav and Rav Nevin Sal and Chuvas Avigdor Levi Pedresh Peches all say that that pets are in fact muktzah. Having said that, though, Rav Shlomo Zalman in Shulchan Shlomo says that pets are not muktzah. But then in a footnote he says, but maybe they are because maybe animals are just their own category of muktzah. So he sort of wavers back and forth. Rav Binyamin Zilber in his Chuvas Cheliches Simon Lamed Vav paskins that pets are not muktzah because they're set aside for this purpose. So it does seem to be a machlokas haposkim, but it's certainly at the very least it's an issue. So again, Rav Schechter thought that the assumption should be that that pets are in fact muktza. That's as far as lifting a pet. What about just petting an animal? Is that a problem? So Shulchan Aruch and Sim Shin Beis Sifyot Aleph paskins that if your hands are dirty, you're allowed to wipe them with the tail of a horse. If you have a horse, then you can just wipe your hands on the tail. So the Bir Halacha says that we're talking about a tail that's connected to a live animal. And even though the animals are muktza, and you're not allowed to even partially move muktza, the animal's hair is different. That's not a part of the animal's body. You're only not allowed to like pick up the leg of the animal or something like that. But to just move around their hair is no big deal. And then the Bir Halacha says, nah, tzarchim. He's not sure if that's a compelling svara, that the hair of an animal is different than the body of an animal. So it would seem that if you want to pet your friend's dog, it could be that that you have enough to be makel with because of the tziruf of those poskim who say that pets are not muktzah to begin with. This is what Rav Eliada Goldwicht suggested in the Smichas Chaver curriculum, that the poskim who write that pets are not muktzah combined with the Bir Halacha, who opens up the possibility that hair is not really the animal's body anyway. However, if you're convinced that pets are mukso, like the pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch, so it's not, and the Be'er Lach leaves it as a tzarachiyun, so it's not so clear everyone would be comfortable to make that that siruth. Rav Nevin Sal in Tshuvas Avigdor Levi, page Resh Pei Tes, paskins that a person is allowed to pet an animal, even though Rav Nevinzal holds that pets are muksa on Shabbos, because he thought just stam that we paskin like that side of the tzoruch iyun in the Bir Halacha, that the hairs of the animal aren't considered to be the animal's body. So I guess the moral of the story is that if a person is going to buy a pet or really do anything and make any life change, it's important to study the halachos that are associated with it, so we can know what we're supposed to do. There are a whole bunch of halachos that relate to pet ownership, and of course a person should always do a cheshbon of whether this is really something, a wise way to spend your time and your money, and I once had a maisa, which I'm comfortable saying now because the person who it happened to said it publicly, so a couple came to me and they started asking questions about where they can get a dog with neutering issues, can you neuter the dog, and what to do, and they had come to me like a month earlier and said that they were just so overwhelmed that they can't have more children now. They're just so overwhelmed with life. It's so busy. It's so crazy, and they can't imagine having another child now. And then, like a month later, they're talking about buying a dog. So I said, I have an idea. Maybe instead of a dog, maybe just have another kid. And they did. They instead of buying a dog, they had another child. So every time I see that little girl, I'm like, wow, you could have been a dog. And if you're gonna put the time and the energy, probably better to put it into a Jewish neshama, but be that as it may, if one is going to buy a pet, then they should at least be familiar with the halachas involved.